There was a young ensign who had completed his first overseas tour of duty, and he was given an opportunity to prepare his ship to set sail. And if you've ever been in the Navy, you know what goes into that, and what an honor, I suppose, it is for that ensign to do that. So he gave Boyd just a whole string of crisp commands. He was on it. He had the decks buzzing with activity. Soldiers were moving. Sailors were all over the place. And the efficiency was absolutely remarkable. And they set sail in record time. He received a little message up on the bridge as they had shoved off and they were moving away from the dock. And the message read, "My personal congratulations upon completing your underway operation and preparation exercise according to the book and with amazing speed. But next time, you might wait until your captain is aboard before setting off." He had done everything right except the most important thing. The captain wasn't present. We can do a lot of things right, but if we forget the captain, it doesn't matter. The passage of scripture that was read today was read to Israel as they had left Egypt and they were on their way to God's promised land. And they were given what their priority was to be. And it's in that chapter that we read and in those verses we read today from Deuteronomy. Beginning on the 9th of September, 2 weeks from today, we will begin a study called Heralds of Hope. And it's a study of the prophets in the Old Testament. There are a whole lot of us that are believers that never really quite grasp what the purpose of the Old Testament is because we're New Testament people. But without the Old Testament, the New Testament doesn't make sense. Christ's coming would not have had context had it not been for the Old Testament. So we're gonna take apart and study the prophets throughout the fall and up until Advent of this year. And what is going on in this passage of Scripture today was before the prophets. God has always been trying to speak to his people and say, this is how we do it. This is how we get together. This is how we relate to one another. This is who I want to be in your midst. This is how I want you to think of me. This is what I want us to be about. Accomplishing things, purpose, all good. But I want you to understand, I have to come first. That's what God says. I'm the captain. Don't leave me out. In the 10th chapter of Luke, there was a lawyer who came to Jesus. And he said, good teacher. Well, the words right there are just dripping with honey. You can almost hear the irony in it, the sarcasm. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, Jesus knew this guy was a lawyer. Now, he made a very, very, very basic mistake. If you are ever around trial lawyers, if you ever take a class in cross-examination and in examinations, courtroom, how you do it, what you do, one of the first things you learn is you don't, in cross-examination, ever ask a question of a witness that you don't already know the answer to. Never. Never. And this guy set himself up, and he's a lawyer. And Jesus had no sympathy for him at all. And he said, you know, and he quoted the law to him from this verse. He said, I've done those things from my youth. He said, good, and treat your neighbor as yourself. Well, he thought he was being clever because now he was going to put Jesus in a box. Jesus was going to have to define who a neighbor was for this Orthodox Jew. So Jesus used the parable of the Good Samaritan. And he used the parable of this guy who's outside the box, being the one who is actually the godly person. Trial lawyer made a mistake. He was kind of like that ensign. He set sail, but the captain wasn't on board. He was out there asking questions, but he should have known an answer. St. Augustine made a comment hundreds of years ago that I have always loved. There was in my dorm room in college, I had found this on a plaque somewhere, and I have no idea. Let me back up. My mother had probably found this on a plaque somewhere and put it up in my room. Let's be honest, shall we? The likelihood of me finding something on a plaque and buying it, really? So Mom, I'm sure, found this somewhere and put it up, but it had its effect. I read it every day, and it became part of me, and it simply said this from St. Augustine, was, quote, "Love God and do what you like." I love that quote. And if you really think about that, there is tremendous freedom and tremendous responsibility in that. First task, love God. If you love God, everything else that you like will fit. This gets to be a mess when this is out of whack. If God's love is in you and you're loving God, then your behaviors are going to reflect that. Your priorities are going to reflect that. Those are the things that matter. Love God, do what you like. How do you love God? How many of you saw the movie When We Were Soldiers? Did you see that Mel Gibson movie? Lieutenant Colonel Hal Moore. That was a movie that I thoroughly enjoyed. It was a Vietnam era movie. It is supposedly based on a true story. I will admit to you that I have not done the research to tell you absolutely that it's a true story, but it is said to be a true story. So for our purposes today, we'll assume that at the moment. When he took his troops into battle, he got them all together and he gave them a speech before they hit the road. And he said this, "Let us understand something. Here's the situation. We're going into battle against a tough and determined enemy. I cannot promise you that I'll bring you all home alive. But this I do swear before you and Almighty God. When we go into battle, I'll be the first one to set foot on the field and the last to step off, and I will leave no one behind. Dead or alive, we will all come home together." That was a pledge that he gave to his troops as they set off to battle. Not too long after they reached the battlefield, they were involved in a firefight, and they were being overwhelmed by an enemy, and they were losing the battle, and they were losing ground. And the officers back at the base decided they needed to get more out of there, so they radioed to him that they were sending a helicopter, that he was to board the helicopter and leave his troops behind and get back to base, that they had more things for him to do. He grabbed the microphone from that radio message coming in, and he said, quote, "I am in a fight. I object to this order. I will not leave my men." And he didn't give them time to respond. He pulled the plug on the radio. That was the last word, "I will not leave my men." He ended the firefight by taking that small troop even deeper into enemy territory, and ultimately they achieved their objective. The point was, he'd made a commitment to his men, and he was going to be loyal to them no matter what. "I'm not going to leave you alone." And when higher command wanted him to leave them, he said, "No, won't do it. I'm here. If I die, I'll die." I stood before an altar, and I looked in my wife's eyes. At that moment, my fiancé and about-to-be wife's eyes, and I promised her, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never cheat on you. You are my one and only. I love you with all my soul. I'll die for you." Those are all nice things we do in ceremonies. Over time, the depth of those promises start to become real. And now the loyalty that I have and the love that I have for my sweetheart eclipses anything I would have said on our wedding day. I laugh now, and I told her, I thought I was in love with you, and I didn't even know how to define it, okay? I wasn't in love, I was in hormones, okay? Don't laugh at me in that tone of voice, so are you, okay? You don't know what love is till you've endured some crises, till you've had to cross some deserts, till you've run into some situations that are beyond the norm, till you've had to deal with that stuff. You just don't know, but once you do, that loyalty that brings you together, and it just cements the bond, and it's for all time. Here's what I know. Jesus pledged, "I will never leave you, I will never forsake you." He never promised he would spare me from the storm, but he promised I'd never go through a storm by myself. That's his promise. He's not going to leave this troop on the field. He'll be there. And he also said, I will love you with an everlasting love. You will spend eternity with me. My sacrifice is for you for all time. Your sins are forgiven because of my sacrifice. Those are all things he said. And the more I've come to know him, the more depth in that truth I've come to understand. And he deserves, boy, that's an empty word. He merits, so is that. But we don't have a better one. Beyond all of that, he is worthy of my loyalty. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. All your heart. When somebody loves somebody with all their heart, it means they're loyal to it. Their heart is that loyalty. He deserves and merits my loyalty. And then it says, and he, I am to love him with all my soul. Interesting word. In the first five books of the Old Testament, the word soul refers to one's whole being as a living person. It includes the heart, but it's much, much more. In Genesis chapter 2, God formed the man from the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils, and he became a living soul, the words that are used there. It means that to love God with our whole soul means we love God with our passions, with our hungers, with our perceptions, and with our thoughts. Our whole soul is committed to him. My entire being is his. There is nothing that he can ask of me that is too much to ask. There is no extremity that I would go to because I love him with my whole soul. Did you know that God hardwired every human being to want to connect with something bigger than we are? Now, when you're my height, that's not hard, okay? I connect with things bigger than I am every day. But I want to connect with something bigger than I am. That's why people get involved in causes. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to satisfy that desire to connect with something more important, bigger than I am. Well, if I love God with all my soul, I'm there. Now, I know that connecting with something bigger, some of you connect with some semi-pro team in Dallas, Cowboys or something. And then I think there's a AAA baseball club up there called the Rangers. Are they AAA, AA? Maybe they're only just AA. I'm not sure. We do that, right? And then we connect with things that are bigger. We get involved in politics. And we involve ourselves with political parties. We involve ourselves with trying to change the course of our nation. Nothing wrong with being involved in those things. That's not bad stuff at all. But it's not the best stuff. It's kind of like that ensign who was taking the ship out. It's okay to go through those motions. It's all right to get all that stuff done. Those are all good things and part of life, but it's not the main thing. The main thing is to love God with all of our soul. To seek to root our soul in anything other than God is going to leave us thirsty. A little chorus we sang is on purpose. We fill up, our cup comes up empty every week. We need to fill it up with him. One writer put it this way. The desire for things besides God to deeply satisfy our souls is like the craving of salt in a man dying of thirst. It just isn't going to help. It's not going to get you there. I'm thirsty and I need contentment, and it only comes from God. Love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. That's a big one. Control your mental diet. How many of you know the little four-letter word, jigo? What's jigo mean? Garbage in, garbage out. When first computer language was being written, garbage in, if you wrote it wrong, the answer is you're going to get it wrong. Garbage in, garbage out. If you put garbage in, don't be surprised what comes out. Garbage in, garbage out. What we listen to matters. Jesus said, what you think makes a difference. The law said, you will not commit adultery. Jesus said, if you lust after that woman, you might as well go do it. It's already done. You already done it here. Your thoughts matter. Garbage in, garbage out. The behaviors are a result of the thought life. The behaviors are a result of the passions. The passions come from the things we feed on. I love coconut cream pie. Can't have it anymore. Get a bite every night. I love coconut cream pie. Trust me, I could live, I know, for 4 days at least on nothing but coconut cream pie. Promise, I could. I love it. I have a passion for coconut cream pie. I can tell you a good one, and I can tell you one. Real quick, I'll still eat the one. Don't misunderstand. Okay? Love it. But I've also learned that that coconut cream pie lets my sugar go like that in a hurry. And it's more important to me to control that sugar than it is to enjoy that pie. Folks, that's what your mental life does. Your behavior, the pie or the no pie, comes from knowing what goes on. If you don't spend any time in His Word, if you don't understand the things of God, if you're never here, then what comes out of here is not going to be the Word of God, the love of God, the peace of God, the joy of God. Not going to happen. Somewhere I have a coffee cup. You were talking about coffee this morning, Joseph. Coffee cup. I'm carrying a coffee cup. We stand up and you run into me. And our cups bump together. What's going to come out of that coffee cup? Why? Because that's what's in it. When life runs into you and shakes you up, what's going to come out of you is what's in you. That simple. And God says, fill yourself up with my word. Peace, love, joy, long-suffering, patience. Think on these things. Whatsoever things are good and pure and holy, that's what's in your cup. That's why we sang, here's my cup. I lift it up. Fill it up, Lord. Make me whole. My mind filled with the things of God. Because if it's not, I can't love Him with all my mind. Don't get drawn away. One of the biggest discussions that I'm involved in clergy matters, professional organizations, if you will, is the fact that pornography is rampant in the ministry. Absolutely rampant in the ministry. And I know this is going to sound self-serving, and I don't mean it to. I don't know how else to say it. That just blows my mind. It's I don't understand it. I can't comprehend it. I don't mean that to be holy. I'm not trying to be a super spirit. I just, personally, I cannot comprehend how that happens. Can't comprehend how that works. Because the mind, the guys who are involved in ministry, we know that if we don't feed here, we've got nothing to give you. If we're not filled here, we're empty. We got nothing. And how do you fill? And then, I don't know. I don't get that. That's why we're having a lot of the problems we're having in the church. That's amazing to me. I just want my coffee cup to be filled with the things of God. I love the Lord with all my heart. I do. I'm loyal to Him. I love Him with all my soul. My desires, my passions, my everything is tuned to Him. And I love Him with all my mind. I love to feed on His Word, learn His precepts, so that I can share them and enjoy the fruit of the Spirit come out of us. And then it says, and love Him with all your strength. All your strength. Now, all of us are not just, you know, brute strength. We're just not. And we're all not given to that. There was a little guy that said to his daddy, he said, you know, Dad, there's a big log laying over the road. Dad said to him, well, go move it. And he said, well, Dad, I can't move it. He said, sure you can. Just use all your strength. And the little guy went down there and he grabbed the log and he tried to move it. And he couldn't. And finally he turned around to his dad and he said, Dad, I can't move that log by myself. And his dad said, son, I didn't tell you to move it by yourself. I said, use all your strength. And the little guy looked at him for a minute and said, I don't understand, Daddy. He said, you didn't ask me to help. One of your strengths is you can ask me to help. How many times do we try to move the log all by ourselves? And all we had to do was ask for help. Ask for help. Dad, I need help. I get asked when I do kids camps, and I used to do them a lot as camp pastor. I loved doing them. Camp directors weren't sure they wanted me back, but the kids loved me. Kids would ask me, what's the most important prayer I can pray? Anybody want to take a guess what I told them? Those are both good. Whatever comes out of your mouth is good. Love you, Jesus, good. Most important prayer you can pray, kid, help. One word, help. Because in that one word, I recognize whatever the situation is, I can't deal with it. I acknowledge it, and I need help. All the details of I love you and everything, that'll get fleshed out. But for a child, the easiest word to get hold of is that word, help. Love God with all your strength. And the greatest strength you have is the fact that you can ask Him for help. You're not in this thing by yourself. You're not alone. You're never abandoned, but He is with you. Those are great promises of God. So when He says to do these things, and that these are the most important things, those are our priorities. A lot of things we can't do alone, but we can do with His help. I would say that the Texas Rangers, a couple of years ago, when they did win the pennant, their manager had given them a slogan that they used around the clubhouse. Not hearing it much these days, but in those days, it was never, ever quit. Remember that? You were reading it on billboards, hearing it on the radio, every game, all the time, never, ever quit. For what it's worth, they need to be saying it now more than they said it then. Never, ever quit. But that's the secret to life. You just don't ever, ever quit. Not every circumstance is going to come out the way you want it, but you never, ever quit. Not everything is going to be Pollyanna, but you never, ever quit, because He's promised He'll be with you, and you walk with Him. How many of you remember the story of the pearl of great price? Man had found a pearl of great price, and it, for him it was the most valuable thing. Well, a preacher named Juan Carlos Ortiz told the story, but he told it like this, and I like it. It goes like this. He said, the man walks into the merchant, and he said, I see this pearl, and I want it. How much is it? And the merchant says, oh, it's very expensive. And the gentleman says, well, how much? Well, it's a lot. Well, do you think I could buy it? Oh, sure. Anyone can buy it. Well, I thought you said it was very expensive. Well, it is. How much? Everything you have. Everything I have? Okay, all right. I'll buy it. Great. What have you got? Well, let's see. I've got $10,000 in the savings account. Okay. $10,000, that's good. What else you got? Well, let's see, I got $100 in my pocket. Okay, $100, that's good. Take that. What else you got? Well, I'm not sure what you're asking. There's really nothing else, that's all. Well, where do you live? Well, I live over here at 148 Pinehurst. You own your house? Well, yeah, well, good. Pinehurst House, that's mine. What else you got? You're going to take my house? What do you expect me to do, live in my camper? Oh, you got a camper. Mine. What else you got? I don't understand. What else have I got? You expect me to sleep in my car? Oh, you got a car. Well, actually, I've got two. Okay, they're mine. What else you got? I don't know where I'm going to live. I don't know how I'm going to get there. What am I going to do with my kids? Oh, you have a family. How many kids? Two. Mine. And suddenly the man began to realize. And the merchant said, oh, by the way, you're mine too. Everything becomes mine. Wife, children, you, yourself, cars, belongings, they're mine. Listen, I'm going to allow you to use all these things for now. But don't ever forget, they're mine, just as you are. Whenever I need any of them, you must give them up because I am now the master. I like the way Ortiz told that story. For me, that's what it is to be a Christian, to be a believer. That's what it is to love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, with all my mind. It's all yours. Thanks for letting me use it for a while. But I understand to whom it belongs. When I set sail every morning in my ship, I want to remember that I've got the captain on board, and he's the one that's directing everywhere we go. Bow your heads with me in prayer, would you please? Lord Jesus, I love you with all my heart and soul and mind and strength, Lord, as best I know how. And Master, you know my prayer every morning. God, I want to today learn how to love you better than I did yesterday. I want to learn how to share your love more than I did yesterday. I want to be closer to you than I was yesterday. And I want folks to see Jesus in me more alive than they did yesterday. Lord, if we as a congregation each pray that kind of prayer, we're going to be the kind of church you desire in this community. And the influence that we will have for you, for the kingdom, will be what you intended in the first place. Thank you for your word. Thank you for who you are. Thank you, Lord, for all the blessings that we enjoy.